May I read you a few verses from Luke chapter 22, Luke 22, beginning at verse 1 on page 998 in the Church Bibles, Luke 22. Now the feast of unleavened bread, called the Passover, was approaching. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered into Judas called Iscariot, one of the 12. And he went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. As I hardly need tell most of you, today is what's known in the Christian calendar as Spy Wednesday. We have Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Easter Day, which are so much more famous. But today is Spy Wednesday, and we remember on this day how Judas went to the chief priests and agreed to betray Jesus to them. And it was an extraordinary thing to happen. And every year when I think about Judas at some point during this week, I am amazed, because he had the most astonishing potential as a follower of the Lord Jesus. Someone has written of him. He could have been the prince of among the apostles if only he'd felt he could be more honest with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was as a result of the fact that he didn't think he could that we see, as recorded in the first part of verse 3, then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot. Whatever this describes, it certainly wasn't a dramatic event, as no one else among the other disciples knew what had happened. But Jesus, of course, did know. There had been a hardening of Judas's heart, and he needed, above everything else, to take control of the situation. The two of them, Judas and Jesus, had a very close friendship. Jesus clearly trusted Judas. We get hints of that again and again in the Gospels. And their closeness was shown by the fact that at the Last Supper, Judas was given the place of honor at table. He shared the olive oil bowl with the Lord Jesus himself. He was on the other side from the beloved apostle. And the fact that he'd been placed there caused no surprise among those other close friends of the Lord Jesus. That place setting was exactly what they'd expected, probably what they got used to. And because of their friendship that night, Jesus protected Judas. He made no attempt to dissuade him from his course of action. I think that's just someone's telephone telling me to stop speaking, but I'll carry on anyway. They'll go away. except through underlining to Judas his friendship. Judas was there. Jesus knew what was happening, but he made no attempt to stop him. He simply whispered at one point, "Go and do what you have to, and do it quickly." Had he even hinted to the others about what Judas had planned to do, he would have had no opportunity to do it. John, in his gospel, records that at this point, Judas simply slipped quietly away out of the room. And in a dramatic comment, editorially, John says, "And it was night." Judas had made his decision. But why did he do it? Jesus had to die, but how could one of his closest friends betray him like that? And it was because Judas couldn't, had he been here today, have sung that song which has the refrain, "You've never failed me yet." Judas felt Jesus had failed him, but couldn't talk about it with him. His family name, as we know, was Iscariot, knife man. He was a second generation member of a group of fanatical nationalists, professional revolutionaries, who were committed to the independence of Israel and the overthrow of the Roman occupation. Judas was passionate for God to be acknowledged as King of Israel. It was a good thing that he believed in. He wanted to make it happen at all costs. But he couldn't do it God's way, and he couldn't really talk to Jesus about it at all. Judas has seen in Jesus the potential for a great charismatic leader who could have united Israel and led a successful revolt against the Roman occupiers. But Jesus didn't do it. After the feeding of the 5,000, when it was said in the Gospels that they came to take him away and make him king, Jesus simply disappeared. Then on Palm Sunday, Jesus let the energy of the welcoming crowds in Jerusalem simply fade away. Betraying Jesus, Judas was trying to force his hand, giving him no option but to lead a violent response, and he assumed Jesus would do exactly that. But of course, he was totally wrong. We see in Matthew's gospel, when Judas realized how wrong he'd been, he went to the chief priests and said, "I betrayed an innocent man," and threw back their 30 pieces of silver. He realized he made a terrible mistake, which was to have desperate consequences. And if only he talked to Jesus, if only he'd said, why? Surely this is the best way. If only they talked through how Judas felt, the desperate sense of being let down that was beginning to consume him. If only he'd given Jesus a chance to explain how he saw things. He'd have been excited by the size of God's vision. He could have been amazed at what could have been achieved. He'd have been moved at the cost that Jesus was prepared to pay. But he never talked to Jesus, simply nursed that feeling of being let down by him. And us? Can we sing with any sense of confidence, "You've never failed me yet"? You've never failed me yet. Or are we just aware of feeling let down by him, not able to talk it through with him, not having really understood the vision that he has? It's clear from how Jesus related to Judas. He simply wanted Judas to say, "We need to talk. This is doing me no good. I don't understand. I feel let down. You need to let me talk, and you need to tell me what I don't understand. It would have been so different. And he looks at us and says, if there's anything between us, let's begin to sort it out today. If you feel let down, this is the time to begin to try and work it out. I'd love you, says Jesus, to be able to sing, you've never failed me yet.